I tell you what, the devil just comes to destroy and to steal and to ruin everything. Welcome to Sharon Baptist Church. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. Of course, we are open tomorrow, Sunday, at 10:45. We take the temperature, set the door, and give face masks if you like. We practice the social distancing. So please come and join us. You can find out more about us on SharonBaptistConcord.com or join us live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord, 10:45.
We ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need Him now, don't we? We've always needed Him, for sure. We do know that, but how much more in these last days? I sense in my spirit that we're not going to be here long. Everything seems to be going on to fulfill God's Word. I know nothing has to happen before Jesus comes. I understand that. But as He's already had written for us to read and to understand, I believe we're in the last of the last days. And if we're ever going to be overcomers against the devil's opposition, and it's great, beloved, now is the time. So I'm going to try to preach a while about that today, overcoming the devil's opposition. If you'll turn with me, please, to the book of the Revelation, and look in chapter number 12. I'm going to read verse number 11. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11. I realize this passage is written to previous saints of God. It's written for present saints of God. And it's also written in the prophetic future for the future saints of God. But it's a universal message from God to us. Revelation 12, verse number 11. And they, who are the they? Saints of old, saints of the present, saints of the future. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. In this verse, you find God's strategy here for living the overcoming life as a Christian. To overcome the opposition of the devil. We need this message more today than any day in my 77 years. I don't know how you feel about it, but we need this message today to prepare us for what may be lying ahead before our Lord Jesus comes to receive us out of this world. Now listen, these words are not just some verdict from some old pages of history. These words are not words from some conquering general's journal that he wrote a long time ago. These verses are God's word to teach us and help us how to live the victorious Christian life and be an overcomer in our lives today. Now, Jesus Christ gives us the overcoming spirit because of what He did on the cross. And these words explain to us how to go about it. Now, who is it in this verse that's spoken of when it says, "And they overcame Him"? Who is the Him here in this verse? If you'll just back up a couple of verses here and look in verse number 9, you'll see who it is that they overcame. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 9 clearly tells us who it is that they overcame. It's Satan, the devil, as we know. Do you know, beloved, we have three great enemies in our lives. First of all, our first enemy is the world. If that were not enough, and the world's waxing worse and worse every day, isn't it? We have the world against us, and then we have the flesh against us. And we have to battle the flesh every day that we live, don't we? All of us do. And so the flesh cooperates, you see, sometimes with the world to lash out against us and to defeat us. And if that were not enough, we have the third enemy, who's the devil. The devil takes the world and he takes the flesh and he combines them together because he knows his time is short, and he uses the world and the flesh against us to his advantage. Almost sounds like we've got three strikes against us, doesn't it? But I noticed something. The wrath of Satan is great. And I hope you realize it's growing every day worse and worse and worse. You don't have to even look at much news or read many things from your daily newspapers or whatever to know that the devil's waxing to his advantage greater and greater and greater, and a very fast speed, if you notice that also as well. Because he knows his time is short. And he's utilizing the last times in these days to get all that he can deceive. The Bible says here, he deceives the whole world. Now then, how was it that the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, how was it that they were able to overcome the devil with all the things going on that was against them? The Bible does say, and they overcame him. So it tells me that the overcoming is a possibility. If they overcame, we should be able to overcome. The promise that God gave to them, and they realize, is still standing true today, isn't it? No different today than it was then. So, God promises us we can be an overcomer. That promise is still in effect for us today, and certainly will be on into the future when we've gone from this world and the great tribulation and all sets in. Now listen, God says through Paul and in a number of places throughout the New Testament, especially in Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. I include Satan too, shall not have dominion over you. So both sin and Satan must give way, they must give ground when God's people stand. Now how did that happen? How did that take effect in the Old Testament, in the New Testament days? How's that going to take effect in your life and mine today? If we can see how it happened with them, we should be able to see how it can happen to your life and mine today, shouldn't we? Let's see how this happened. There's three things I want you to see. They overcame, first of all, because of their dependence in the Lord. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Victory is simply by the blood of Jesus Christ he shed on the cross for us. If you'd ask the Old Testament saints and New Testament saints, if you'd ask them, what's the secret of your overcoming? What's the secret of your victory? They would in unison rise up and say, it was by the blood of the Lamb. There's two particular things about the blood of the Lamb I want you to see. First of all, is a victory for Christians. And then secondly, is a victory, in fact, for Christ. So let's back up and look at those thoughts together. First of all, a victory for Christians. Listen, it is here in the blood of the Lamb, I'll speak for myself, that I found forgiveness of my sins. It is in the blood of the Lamb that I find continuing cleansing from sin in my life. It's in the blood of the Lamb that I found the peace that I'd always looked for. It's in the blood of the Lamb that I found salvation. I know that you probably did too. If you didn't, I hope you will before this message is completed, or you will very soon. It comes through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. When Judas betrayed our Lord, and he brought the money back, you remember the story, and he just threw it down at the high priest and elders' feet. And he said to them, I have betrayed innocent blood. And do you remember what they said to him? What's that to us? See thou to it. Or you take care of it. In almost like manner, when Jesus hanged on the cross and was shedding his blood for your sins and mine, and God the Father said, Son, see thou to it. And he did. He did. He gained victory for us on the cross when he shed that blood and he died on the cross and was buried in the tomb and resurrected, of course, on the third day. You see, Jesus did it individually, willingly, voluntarily, and personally. So in Revelation 12 here, as they depended in and they depended on the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious shed blood, there's where the overcoming came. There's where the victory is to be found. There's where it comes today, just as true for us as it was for them in those days. It's not only an initial cleansing. 1 John 1:9, John writes, and John says, if we confess our sins, He, the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not most unrighteousness, not just the big sins, not just the little sins, all unrighteousness. And also it says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth. That is a present tense continuing action. That means in your life and mine, from the day that I got saved, it began then and it's continued all these years in my life and in your life. It'll continue on and on and on as long as we need forgiveness. Victory is mine. Victory is yours. Victory was the very first Old Testament saints, and victory was the New Testament saints. Their victory was in the blood of the Lamb. You ever feel defeated by the devil? I know you must at some point in time. All of us do. In these days, it's so easily to come to the point of being defeated because of all the negative things you see going on within our nation alone, not even counting all the things around the whole world that's growing wax and worse every day. So no doubt sometimes we feel defeated. If you feel defeated today, let me say something to you. Get to Jesus. Get your sins under His blood. Be sure you're saved. Be sure you know His blood has cleansed you from your sin and cleanses you every day. Get your sins under the blood and you will find victory. They did in the Old Testament days. They did in the New Testament days. And they do it today. Not only is this a victory for Christians here on Jesus shedding His blood, it was also a victory for Christ Himself. His victorious death on the cross, listen to me, is our only basis for salvation. The only basis of salvation is by the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross. It was victorious for us, yet it's victorious for our Lord Jesus as He hanged on the cross and shed His blood for us. Beloved, I think that we need regularly to be reminded of what it was that Jesus actually did for us when He went to Calvary's cross. And He died willingly to cover your sins and my sins. We need to be reminded of just what it was He did for us on the cross, don't we? Could you just, in your mind's eye, see God's Son, the Lord Jesus? And we see some tragic pictures many times of Jesus carrying the cross and stumbling beneath the weight of the cross. It looks so tragic. But I want you to look at it in another light. When Jesus bore that cross on His shoulders and started toward Calvary, it was a march of victory. It was not a march of defeat. It was going to the cross to do battle with the devil, and to do battle He did, and He won the victory on the cross, and we need to be reminded of that every day that we live, not just occasionally. I doubt very seriously if very few people standing around the cross, seeing our precious Lord with that crown of thorns on His brow, His precious body being pierced, His blood being shed, His life in dire anguish, dying for you and me. I doubt they understood the implication of what was really taking place. And I wonder today, sometimes, if we realize it as much as we really need to. So how'd the victory come to pass? For Christ. At what cost was it? It was all by the blood of the Lamb. So in that crowd, very many didn't understand it. Today, most of the world doesn't give it a second thought. The preaching of the cross, Paul said, is foolishness to a lot of people. But to the saved, it's a power of God unto salvation and continuous overcoming victory in the Lord. The fact remains, Jesus did grapple with the devil on the cross, and He won the victory on the cross in the shedding of His precious blood. Jesus broke into the strong man's house, and the Bible says, and destroyed his goods. It's on the cross that Jesus gained the victory for us. It's in the conquering Christ. The left today, I don't know if you've ever seen Michael Yosef or not, but I watch him from time to time. He talked about the left say that Jesus was a lunatic. Those on the right hold Him precious as our Savior. And as His shed blood cleanses us, He's a conquering Christ. If you were to ask the Old Testament saints, if you were to ask the New Testament saints, if you were to ask saints of today, where is the victory? What's your secret to overcoming? What's your secret? And we would all have to stand up and say, it's by and through the very shedding of the blood of the Lamb. So you see, they overcame. And if we're going to overcome, it's going to have to be the same way, through the blood of the Lamb, depending, of course, in the Lord and Him alone. But there's a second truth here I want you to see. It says in this same verse, listen to it again. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It was not just in their dependence on the Lord. It was in their declaration of love. It was by their testimony. Do you see that? By the word of their testimony. Beloved, listen to me. Proclaiming your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is supremely important today, more so than any other time in which you've ever lived. It's time for us to tell others in love what Jesus Christ has done for us and what He can do for them if they'll put their faith and trust in Him. Many people are well aware of what I've been talking about thus far. They understand the doctrine of the blood atonement. They understand that they were saved through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. But here's where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. It is in declaring to others what the blood of Jesus being shed really meant to us and what it can mean to them if they'll put their faith and their trust in Him. Very little people, very few people, know very much about declaring their love to others. What about your love for Jesus, for what He's done for you? Think about it. Think about what He's done personally for you. And you have to declare to others what He's done for you. You have to. Do we love Him enough in these days to share or declare that love to others? I know we're trying to be suppressed in what we say and how we say it. I'm not too concerned at all about being politically correct. I'm not too concerned about government officials. I'm not too concerned about what the world thinks. I am concerned, however, on declaring my love for Jesus to other people. Very little of that's being done today. Jesus told us to share our love for Him. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Sort of like the example. Love being declared has to declare an action. For example, the man at the pool. You remember the story there? He was laying by the side of the pool, and every time the angel came and troubled the waters, he couldn't get in. And Jesus came by, and He said, "Will you be made whole?" And the guy said, I really would. I'd like to be, but when the angel troubles the waters, I don't have anybody to put me in. And others always get in before I can get an opportunity to get in. It demanded an act of obedience. And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And he obeyed, and he was healed. The same kind of a story was with the man with the withered hand. And Jesus said, "Would you like to be healed?" "Oh, yes, Lord, I would." He said, "Then stretch out your hand." An act of obedience, you see. And in obedience, we are declared by the Lord Jesus to share our love with others, how He's died on the cross for us, how He shed blood for us, what He can do for them. And the declaration of love makes all the difference to us, Jesus calls. Tell someone how much you love me. Declare it. Speak it. By the word of their testimony. That's words being spoken. That's words being declared. By the word of their testimony. How does that passage in Revelation 12 relate to us today? By the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, they overcame him, the devil, their love for Jesus. It's completely biblical with what it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10 about being saved. That if you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, that God raised Him from the dead, and you put your faith and trust Him, you will be saved. Sin has held many people captive. It held me captive for many years. If you're saved, it held you captive for many years. And people today are still being held captive by the devil, the Bible says, at his will. And the only way they're going to have an opportunity to know is some Christian declare the love of Jesus and the shedding of the blood and declare to them so that they can put their trust and their faith in Him and they can be saved just like you, just like me. Don't you want them to have the same opportunity to accept Christ as you had? Don't you want them to be ready to go to heaven like you and I may be? Declare then your love by the word, he says, of their testimony. Beloved, listen, there's a time coming that's on us now that Christians are going to have to be unashamed, unrestricted. Don't let the world restrict you. Don't let the government restrict you to share your testimony. Do not be unashamed. Don't be unrestricted. And don't be unconstrained. the devil will retreat from a person who takes a stand like they did. Now my question to us is this, will you take that stand? Are you ready to take that stand? It's going to be demanded of us, I promise you, in the near future, it's coming. So you better get ready today to declare your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a third thing here I want you to see. Not just their dependence on the Lord and His shed blood, not just a declaration of their love for Him to others, but there's a third truth here in this verse I want you to see. It's a denunciation of self. Listen to that verse one more time. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And listen to this last phrase. And they love not their lives unto the death. The devil himself said, all that a man will give, take care of himself. He's number one. Listen, we've got to learn afresh and anew. It may be through some terrible trauma. It may be through some horrific events within our nation. But we're going to have to learn as Christians to denounce ourselves. Some of these people in Revelation 12, probably in the Old Testament, probably in the New Testament, and I'm certain in the future, they're going to have to give their lives physically as martyrs. We don't know if any had been at that pass. We don't know. But what we do know is this. They were willing and they chose loyalty to Christ over the very lives, their physical lives of themselves. And they love not their own lives to the death. Would you be willing to give your life for Christ? I hope I would. I think I would. I've not been faced with that yet. Don't know that I will. I might be. If that time should come to my life or yours, I hope we'd have the grace of God to stand in the face of the enemy and give my life physically for my loyalty to Jesus Christ. Because you see, this physical life is going to end anyway, but that eternal life is never going to end. I want to be able to stand before the Lord one day with a pure conscience, don't you? Well, if that's true, and it is, that they love not their lives unto death, then it's true what Paul said, isn't it? When Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And also he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Didn't he say that? Well, death, if you look at it correctly, is not defeat for a Christian. It's victory. Whether through normal lifestyle and you die of old age or whatever, whether you have to give your life as a martyr, doesn't matter, whatever happens, death to a Christian is a symbol of victory. If we're to overcome in these last days, we've got to learn to love Christ more than ourselves. Listen to that scripture. They love not their own lives. What did Jesus say about that? Here's what he said. On one occasion, Jesus said this. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall keep it unto eternal life. Living by this principle, Jesus was obedient unto death. The Bible says even death on the cross, Jesus was obedient. And Jesus got the victory, didn't he? And we get the same victory through Him as we're obedient to Him, love Him, depend on Him, and denounce ourselves. Look at that phrase, they love not their own lives unto death. Unto death. Death was the way of victory for Jesus. Death may be the way of victory for us as well. Think about it. It takes the stoutest heart, the most humble servant, the most noble of us, to say no to ourselves and keep on saying no to ourselves to the bitter end. Most people are not willing to say no. Someone wrote somewhere and I read it, said that the hardest person in the world to say no to is yourself. Find it fairly easy to say no to others. When it comes to saying no to ourselves, it's a difficult situation. But we've got to learn to every trial that comes, every temptation we face, even what persecution we may encounter down the road, we've got to learn to a continuing denunciation of ourselves and do what Paul said. I am determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him glorified. I'm determined, Paul said, to glory in nothing but the cross. Do we need to hear Jesus say afresh to us today, take up thy cross and follow me? Don't let, beloved, listen to me. Don't let anyone or anything, past, present, or future, stop you till death. Don't let them stop you. Are we willing for that? To say no to ourselves, even unto the bitter end? We've got to be willing to do that. Are you ready for that? There's no other way that I find in the Scriptures. I hope and I pray that for our lives, when the end of my life comes and the end of your life comes, I pray that God can say over you, over me, as He did in the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and the saints in the future, I hope God can say to us, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. We may have the opportunity, beloved, coming soon, to prove that fact with our own lives. I hope to prepare us. I hope you're prepared and are being prepared through the blessed word of God. Listen, the victory is already ours. Paul did say, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I've got the victory already. It's already won. It's a matter of overcoming the devil in these last days till I meet my Lord Jesus one day face to face. If you're viewing us today on Facebook, if you're listening to the message, I want to encourage you two things. First of all, to we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, would you promise God today, and be careful how you promise God things, because God will hold you responsible for what you promise Him. If you're willing to live by this principle that we just talked about today, I would ask you to promise before God in your own heart that, Lord Jesus, I want to live like that. I want to be that overcomer. I know I've got the victory already in Christ, but I want to overcome in this life and be a good testimony. I want to tell somebody about Jesus. Put somebody, Lord, in my path this week that I can declare the love of Jesus in my heart to them so that they may come to know you like I do. Promise the Lord you'd do that and be prepared to stand on what you promise Him. But then secondly, if you're listening, viewing, you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. Oh, how important it is to do it now. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised another day. But we are promised if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He'll save us. He'll save you as He saved me and many others over the years. Put your faith in Him. You can't trust the government. It's been proven years and years and years and years ago. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust the economy. You can't trust employment. And a list longer than your arm of other things you cannot trust. But you can trust in the truth of God's Word. You can trust in Jesus to do what He said. If you put your faith and trust in Him, He'll save you and give you not just an initial victory, but a continuing victory all the days of your life till you meet Him face to face. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank You for gaining the victory for us on the cross, loving us and seeing that we're worthy enough to die for. And Lord, help us to realize that You're more than worthy for us to die for. If that time should ever come, help us to stand valiantly and victoriously in the face of the enemy and declare our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and our loyalty to Him. May our loyalty, Lord, to You be stronger than the will to live physically. Help our church to stand up in these days. Help those who are viewing, who know the Lord, to stand up victoriously. And then for those that have never given their heart and life to Jesus, I pray, Lord Jesus, for them, especially, Lord, for them, that they'll come to have seen today, possibly for the first time, that the only person in the world you can really trust fully is the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll come and want to say, I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus, so let me explain how they can do that. Realize all of us are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus, You died for all. And so I pray for that one of those who may be viewing or listening and would say, I know I'm a sinner. Well, then come to the Lord Jesus and admit it and ask Him to save you and come into your life and forgive you of your sins, and He will, and welcome Him into your life as your Lord and Master, and then promise to live for Him till you see Him face to face. Would be our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. God, help us, church, to stand fast in these last days.
That was a message from Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. You can listen to other sermons too. Well, we are open tomorrow, Sunday, 10:45. If you'd like to come join us, you can get directions on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join us for Facebook live stream at 10:45, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.